came across a comment this week by a pastor. He said, oftentimes when he does an adult sermon, he also does a children's service at the same time. And he said, for the children's service, it was, you know, he said he didn't spend a lot of time prepping for it. It was pretty illustrational and simple, he said. But he said for the adults, it was, you know, he said he spent hours and study, and he said, and try to bring this intellectual and detailed message. But he said he ended up finding out he got more comments from the adults that he was impacted by the children's message than he were by the adults' message. I drew two conclusions. Number one, simple is better. Number two, our sermons are way too long. So, to be brief this morning, we're going to be short and simple. I got a gift card this morning. You in the back can't read that. Mark's good with numbers. What's that say?
Gift card, value $86,400.
It's pretty impressive. You said $86,400, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive, isn't it? You know, you guys are probably wondering here and saying, some guys get all the luck. We'll get back to this later. If you're welcome to open your Bibles to Ephesians 5, if you like. (clears throat) 14 through 17. I'm going to read two versions this morning. First one's going to take out of King James. Second one's going to come out of the New American Standard. 14 says, "Wherefore he saith," or this is King James, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, that Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." The New American Version is this: "For this reason I say, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Colossians 4:5 says, "Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time." Translations are the same, redeeming the time there in Colossians at the as it is in Ephesians here. Going to spend most of my time this morning on verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, and I'm going to kind of work this a little bit backwards. We're going to define the days of evil part first. Evil that Paul was talking about during that time, if we can define that, it would take on the definition of hurtful events in effect. Maybe being like disease, like having something that, like without a cure, and it continues to spread. You know, vicious, vulgar, we can tie those two together. A deep distress or misery. Abandonment. Not only abandonment, but a voluntary abandonment. And negligence. You know, depriving the opportunity to do good. That's what Paul talked about when he wrote to Ephesians. We just had 9/11 15 years ago. Hurtful events in effect. Postmodern day culture and society is what we live in today. Just illustrates this and probably carries out in different ways and means. Maybe more pronounced. But the truth of the matter is, you know, people no longer believe in a temporary state of human existence. We're leading a procrastinating lifestyle. If we don't do it today, we'll do it tomorrow. If we don't do it tomorrow, we'll do it next week. You know, we basically lost our sense of urgency. I think we can honestly say, you know, there's definitely a more denial of evil today. There's definitely more denial of its existence. Let's look at time for a second. If I was to walk up to Norman here, Norman would say, what time is it? You would probably say 11:12, right? Norman could have also said, Merle, it's time for you to sit down. But Norman's a nice guy. He'd probably just say, you know what, it's lunchtime. You know, all the answers would have been correct. They all would have worked. But they mean two different things. The one we're associated with was 11:12, because our lives, our schedules evolve around seconds, minutes, hours, days, and years. We go to work at 7 a.m., we come home at, if you're lucky, 2 o'clock. Or whatever. And I'm not applying it being conscious of our time is a bad thing, because it's not. Because Proverbs 19:12 says, teach us the number of days that when we apply our hearts to wisdom. But if we only view our time as a measurable resource, we're missing what Ephesians is trying, or what Paul is trying to tell us. Redeeming the time, got to be defined in, not in seconds and minutes, but the words I used here is a definite moment, the proper time, a season, or the point of time. The one I like the best, the one I like the best is a slice when we have the opportunity. Time is not just minutes and seconds and hours. Time is when the opportunity is there. As I was going through this morning, I can remember pretty many times where I got the two mixed up. You see somebody needs help, but my schedule has me, I got to be there that certain time, or I'm too busy tied up doing other things. The seconds and minutes engulf me, or as the opportunity slips away. So what we have today is a postmodern culture and society holding and consuming our time. The NSA, the New American Standard Version, illustrates redeeming as making the most of our time. I don't really think it does justice for it. That was part of the reason why I read the NIV this morning, because I think I just like the wording better there. Redeeming, as it's used here, means to purchase or take from out of, to buy back from, to set free, or rescue from loss. It's the same word that Galatians 3:13 used when it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Or Galatians 4:5 when it says, so that he might redeem those who are under the law. So basically what it's telling us, time, we have to reach out, we have to grasp it, we have to take ownership of it, we have to take responsibility of it. We have to understand the special significance of it. It implies that something is lost, and it takes a cost to get it back, an effort on our part. Some translations use the word utilize in there, to utilize your time wisely. I don't really think it fits, for the simple reason is if you look at the word utilize, it's telling us to make use or to convert to use. Our hours or days or seconds or minutes are being converted to use by the world we live in, by the evil world we live in. We have to take ownership of that time and take the opportunity. Time and opportunity is not neutral ground. It's hostile territory. It's evil days. There's a perfect account of illustration of this in Acts 8. We don't have to turn there, but it's an account of Philip and Enoch. And I'm going to just read that. It said, "Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join the chariot.' And Philip ran, heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and he said, 'Do you understand what you're reading?' And he said, 'Well, how could I unless someone comes and guides me?' And he invited Philip to come and sit with him." There was the opportunity. Philip reached out, grabbed the opportunity, took ownership of it, and benefited the Enoch. Verse 15 tells us to walk. King James uses the word circumspectly. The New American Standard uses the word carefully. Walk is a simple term of daily life. Daily, every step-by-step process. But it tells us to be circumspectly or carefully walk it. And if we look at that word carefully a little bit, or to look carefully, it implies of exactness, preciseness. The word to look carefully can actually came from an accounting term, and go back to Mark again here this morning. But when we do our checkbook, we don't just get down to the bottom and says, "Well, I think that's a 100, or is it a 10? I'll take 100 because it's better." It doesn't work that way. It's exact. It's precise. It's done with precision. That's all Paul's asking. Walk your life with exactness, with precision, because evil days will consume our time. He also uses the word wisdom in there, wise, and it takes on the meaning of, you know, with skill. So we walk our days with precision and wisdom, or with skill. The unwise walk around like, later on in that, read on, it talks about intoxication. Basically, the unwise walk around as an intoxicated person. Without clear vision or direction, just kind of like aimlessly wandering around, and we notice that. Psalms 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." The point here is, our time is being consumed. Whether we like it or not, we have to make the choice to take ownership of it, to pull it out, to use it as an opportunity. You say, "Well, big deal, why?" Well, humans left unchecked and on their own will most always default back to evil. We need to walk with exactness and skill. Time, it's not just seconds, minutes, hours, days, and years, but it's taking ownership of the opportunity. And we can go on lots of examples. Maybe we got a coworker, we've been saying, I should, but, you know, I got bowl game. I mean, I'm not going to say that. I got a hunting trip planned next week. Yeah. Or I should make that phone call to this person I've been wanting to call, but, you know, this job needs to be done. It pays better. Maybe our child needs a minute of our time. I can go on and on and on. Our spouse. If we don't take the opportunity to grab the time, to pull it back, to redeem it, it gets overwhelmed in these evil days. Time is given for a viable purpose. Past time or lost time is not irretrievable. It can never be bought back. Psalm or Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established." Rick Warren had a quote here, and I am quoting this. It says, "Time is the most precious gift because you only have a set amount of it." I don't know if you can all see us in the back here this morning. 86,400. You know there's 86,400 seconds in a day. You can all see the front of this thing this morning. What you can't see is what's written on the back. And I'm going to read that. It says, "Recipient has authority to use allocated time freely and at their own discretion." I'm feeling better already. It says, "Card valid at 12 o'clock a.m. September 11, 2016. Card expires 12 o'clock p.m. September 11, 2016. Then there's some small print down here, but you know, kind of hard to read. I should have brought glasses, but it goes something like this. Devaluing countdown starts immediately on card's validity. Whatever that means. Devaluing countdown cannot be accelerated, decelerated, or paused." Okay. "Card cannot be shared, loaned, borrowed, or saved." It won't work for tomorrow. It's no good yesterday. And we never read warnings, do we? But there's one written on the bottom of this thing. It says, "Issuer reserves all right and authority to cancel any remaining time without advance prior notice." Issuer reserves all rights and authority to remain, or all rights and authority to cancel any remaining time without advance prior notice. This thing would breed about 48,000 about right now. It may count down to zero for me today. It may not. So for those of you who were feeling sorry earlier that life's not fair and some guys get all the luck, there's some more stuff written on the back here. We all got one this morning. You all got one this morning. It didn't matter if you were a billionaire or you're a pauper. Doesn't matter your ethnic background, your nationality, family dynamics, marital status, male, female, even age spectrum. So if you're like me, this little blimp on God's vast radar, or if you're one of these people that think that, you know, the world was created just for me, you still got one, and it's counting down. What are we going to do with it? Let it be consumed by our evil world? Or are we going to reach out, grab the opportunity, take ownership of it? I'm going to wrap up here, but I got to share this yet because this was kind of unique. I guess I can say unique. I was kind of working on this thing on and off all week, hour here, hour there, a couple hours here, a couple hours there. Yesterday morning, a few hours, and we all know the sun was out yesterday. And the day was warm and hot, and about 12:30, I told Mary Fast, said, "Let's go to the river." She's like, "Well, you know, you're ready." I said, "Well, you know, let's go to the river." I mean, I don't know, ready or not. I said, "Let's go to the river," which no big deal. I mean, drive down the river, unstrap the boat, rate it back down the boat dock, and it's not uncommon for men to be or people to be around here wandering around. It's not uncommon. It's not uncommon for somebody to come over and want to talk to you. So when this man approached me, I didn't think anything of him, but he approached me and asked me, he said, "Is there a water skiing club down here?" You know, I, to be honest with him, I said, "I don't know." I said, I've never encountered one or never nothing. Then he asked me this question. Would you be willing to take my children water skiing today? You know what? I was like, well, you know, I only got one set of adult water skis on the boat. I looked at Mary Faye and, you know, I just kind of like, and then it hit me. Is it an opportunity? Or is it just a, am I just going to consume this time with myself? So I said, jump on. And you know what? It was a father. He had two sons, 17-year-old. The other one was younger. And the girl was, what, 8? 13. The boy was 10 or something. I don't know. But anyway, the 17-year-old was fine. He was out on water skis. He did that before. But the girl never got on water skis in her life. We got up on water skis. And you know, we had an awesome time in the water that day. And you know what this man told me, or what the man told us? He said, I left the house this morning. He said, I was praying that we would meet somebody that would help us out today. And we were there. Awesome man, awesome family. I mean, he ended up telling me what he does. I don't have to tell his life story, but he said, I'm actually an evangelist. I travel the world. He said, I preach the message that the Bible starts with marriage. The Bible ends with marriage. He said, the devil has spent his entire being destroying that, which is totally accurate. And I'm not going to go into details, but anyway, got a text last night from him. He said, what is your physical address? He said, you got a gift coming. Just had to end with that. So thank you all. You all got one.